Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's oldpoetry.com. And there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursday's a split between In Our Craft of Sullen Heart with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Fridays, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday's a split between Grey Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and Aphasia with Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday morning. Monday's a split between Hearts of LMP with Victoria and New Chapters in the Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mistress Frost. Tuesdays, Come Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Friday's a split between Crawling into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of becoming art sinner, art saint. Check out the contests for our shows and prompts and call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean and Pam.
Well, hello, Rex, and hello, Pam.
And happy hello, Sunday. Rex, and hello, Jean.
Happy Sunday.
What I tell you, what a party. It's like, what's the family that says good night, everyone? Good night, Jim Boy or
Waltons?
The Waltons, yes. Or what's the Waltons?
Yep. Them. So we're shaking.
Just the heat. We're finally hitting 90 plus.
God.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I got to say, rather you than me on that.
Yeah, same here.
Well, much. Well, yeah, well, you're from the world that has 2 days of autumn and 2 days of summer, Dan. So,
yeah.
90 plus, you would just melt.
Well, let's see. We got tomorrow, 96. Tuesday, 98. Wednesday, 98. 95.
Yeah.
Same old.
Wow.
We're into the beat with the heat.
Yeah, you're ready for it now. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess no time like the present to get started, right, Rex? Get that
absolutely. Since we are doing the car, something a little funkier, upbeat. Something different from the late 70s and into the early 80s.
Gosh.
Hello, Dexter. Nice of you to pop into the room. And hello, PC.
Hey, Dex.
And hello,
actually,
EJ.
He's right here with us.
Hello,
Dexter. Welcome. Glad you could join us.
Yeah, I'm glad I could be here. It's actually supposed to hit 97 here in Minnesota on Tuesday, so that's a...
God.
Oh, you'll be rocking the same temps as we are.
That's some pretty warm stuff.
The lunatics is going to be going bad.
Who?
Yeah.
The lunatic is going to be going bad.
Yep.
You know...
Time to get the frozen peas out.
Yeah, right?
What, you don't save those for black guys anymore?
No.
Only sometimes. Oh, my gosh.
So, Rex, do you have anything to tell us about the cars?
Those are great, too, for when, when you go in for that snip, you know what? You come home all sore, you stick a bag of ice peas down there to sit on. For a while, just for a little bit of distinguishable pleasure in the moment. Oh, ouch. Oh, ouch.
Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. Too funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever seen a Ryan Reynolds commercial for the drink he makes with his aviation gin called the Vasectomy?
No.
You have to look that up on YouTube and watch it. It is so funny.
Y'all have to check it out.
Yeah, I have a bottle of that.
It looks like a tasty drink. Oh, sorry.
I don't know if I can handle a Ryan Reynolds drink. If maybe if I was a woman or something, I think that that's maybe more about that speed, you know?
Why have the aviation gin? I don't need much more.
Yeah, give her a couple of vasectomies and she'll start snipping.
I don't need a recipe. I know what to do with that bottle of gin, unlike the rest of the world.
Yep.
Yeah. I've had a lot of practice over the years, not recently. Yep. Yes. Right brand and everything. Okay, I'll send it over here for inspiration. There we go. Maybe that's what I'm
and
doing.
And sipping
wrong.
Pleasure.
What's that?
And sipping pleasure.
Oh, my God. No, there's no sipping pleasure to gin. That's when you just need to get the job done, you know?
Yep.
There's nothing good about that stuff straight. But it's effective.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
It is.
It's just got way too many botanicals in it to actually enjoy that.
One time I was at the bar and I was having a good old time. I'll tell a little short story. I'm sitting there and I'm drinking gin and grapefruit juice, right? And we're all having a lot of laughs, me and the folks down there and the bar. And I brought everybody around to drinks, right? So we're laughing, having a good time. And then another round of drinks went around. And I went, wow, you know, like, I'm sitting here drinking this gin and grapefruit. What the hell do you drink? What shot would you have with a gin and grapefruit? I said, well, you have a shot of gin, right? Oh, my God. I ordered up, I don't know, 2-3 shots of gin on top of my gin and grapefruit.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, oh, man.
And that was it.
Well, it was just about it. I did have to say that I did fall down. I have to admit it. I do. I have to admit. I was very young then. And I got up and the bartender says, you're flagged. And I said, you can't flag me. And he looked at me and says, why not? I said, because I don't remember if I was getting on or off the bar stool when I fell down. Son of a bitch, he did. He kept on pouring them for me. I said, that's the way to do it. You just tell the truth.
There you go.
Does
top shelf gin exist, or is it just all bottom barrels?
No, you know, they talk about good gin, but, you know, I don't really care for any of the stuff that's supposed to be, like, you know, super. It's okay. It all tastes kind of, you know, yeah. I like Seagram's Extra Dry. I like Seagram's Extra Dry in the bumpy bottle. That's the one I like. Just so everybody knows.
Yep.
Not like any care. I have to say that's my favorite. So how's that for honesty? Anyway, I'm going to shut up now. End of my bar stories. I'm not telling any more. You know, I fell down.
Okie dokie.
Thank God.
Can you drink a little more quietly over there?
I'm not drinking.
No, it's the dog slobbering up water like it was yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Making enough noise to rouse the dead, aren't you? Yeah, go on. Go ahead, go out. All right, then I guess we should
you're putting that poor dog outside in the heat?
Well, it's not a 96 right now.
Oh, okay.
Right now it's 78.
That's a little cooler. Not much, but a little.
Yes, and it's only going down to 73, so that's the best we've got for this evening.
Oh, that works. That works.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Up first, we have You Tempted Tomorrow by S. Sharp. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
You Tempted Tomorrow by Scott Sharp. The bar lights dimmed, but the corner was lit. The crab I skimmed, I must admit. I was looking for you, midnight's pall, when you came into view. Tomorrow called. You tempted tomorrow, so I took you there, through the downtown silence, up through the square. Hand in hand at midnight, let the people stare. You tempted tomorrow, so I took you there. Corner bars, dank smoke, lovers and dreams cannot be close. And you know it seems I was looking for you when the haze lifted, when you came into view. My plans shifted. You tempted tomorrow, so I took you there, through the downtown silence, up through the square. Hand in hand at midnight, let the people stare. You tempted tomorrow, so I took you there. You tempted tomorrow, so I took you there. End poem. All right, Dexter, why don't we start with you, please?
Who? Dexter, you said?
Dexter.
I thought that this was a great write. You know, when you tempted by tomorrow, the tomorrow and tempted and all these things, it just, the whole write has me just kind of filled, builds that anticipation of possibilities, opportunities, you know, a fun time. And I think that that's basically the high point of this is just the anticipation to let your mind roll any which direction. So very well done.
Thank you, Dex. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was an excellent write. My short comment was great rhyme and flow and excellent write on a change of plans in that one night. I thought it amazing, gritty imagery. But I will say that to go a little longer with my comment, that now I'm not so sure if it's about a one-night stand, simply because looking at it now as I was listening and reading, you know, You Tempted Tomorrow feels like the whole idea of you tempted fate, like perhaps it turned out to be a relationship that lasted longer than a one-night stand. And I did like the repetitive line and the alliteration that was in it. I also liked how there was within a lot of this imagery a very noir feel, like corner bars, dark smoke, lovers and dreams cannot be cloaked. And, you know, it seems I was looking for you when the haze lifted. I feel like there was this whole idea of just when you were going to walk out and give up on finding somebody, they showed up out of the smoke, you know. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Nice section, thank you.
Kind of an Amsterdam feel.
Amsterdam. Oh, okay. Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, this is a great piece, and it's funny because throughout the poem itself, I could get some underlying notes of the car's music. It wasn't anything specific or with a direct point to any one song in particular, but it walked you through the tale as I would get from some of the music from, like, way back when. It's a whole different, I don't know how to put it. It's not written the same way, but I think that the storyline or the undernotes of it really took it there. And I think that Scott did a great job. So, nice work. Thanks, Scott.
I actually said, Gene, because that's where I was going. It isn't to anything in particular, so to speak, just the general feel and outward pouring of the music and the lyrics themselves, which kind of hits on the same notes and lines a lot of the love songs they put out. And it's upbeat and walks in that vein of a little bit funky as well. So he kept that tone and thought throughout this piece. And you're right, he did do a great job with it. Thank you, Scott.
Nice.
All right, Pam.
All right.
Oh, EJ, I'll never look at peas the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay away from the frozen.
Funny. All right. Up next, we have A Donkey's Bagatelle by Jack Blue. Or A Donkey's Bagatelle number 4 by Jack Blue. And Gene, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Okay. A Donkey's Bagatelle number 4 by Jack Blue. Let me play a common clown roaming this unearthly town if the infernal seven seas waving in the breeze dominate the entire mail from tomorrow's sail. Let my forces rhyme with my funky prime when I have a stony smile or complain in silent style and some sullen sirens meet on the monochrome street. Let good times bloom all around the gloom if a donkey's fluffy face swinging on a double bass disenchants all and I gently crawl. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. Well, I'll have to find a way of sneaking in Eugene here somewhere along the line, aren't I? I'm not throwing it back at you. Pam, why don't we start with you, please?
All right. Well, you know, I felt like the general thing that this was about, it was about a jester, a court jester that loved to entertain the crowd. And I think you could take it as simply a story about a jester, or you could take it as a metaphor, you know. But I thought it was a great take on the prompt, good times roll. I really like let my farces rhyme with my funky prime when I have a stony smile or complain in silent style and some sullen sirens meet on the monochrome street. I felt like Sullen Sirens Meet on the Monochrome Street actually had kind of a really gritty and visceral vibe to it. Like, it almost made me think of like prostitution. And then of course, anytime I see donkeys, I think of like either Balaam's donkey from the Bible or Shrek's donkey. Which, of course, the second one makes me smile, and the first one makes me think. I also like dominate the entire mail from tomorrow's sail. That gives thought to me, going back to the whole jester idea of how important the jester was, because they were so, and were oftentimes sent to deliver messages that no one else wanted to deliver to the king. So just a really excellent write and great read there, Gene.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a couple different ways that I kind of took this one. I took this one almost as in the courtyard jester, but almost kind of comparing similar things to like kind of what happens now, dominate the entire mail. You know, I picture that being like nowadays when these idiots do something dumb and they dominate all the headlines and they're all over the place and we get to have to see them. But I think that also a side of this was also just kind of having fun with the words. And it was a very playful poem in nature, but I do think there is an underlying message in this one. But it was very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Jack. All right, Gene, you got to read it. How about you?
You know, the piece was good, and I think it – oh, well, I just didn't do that, did I? And I think that it carries the vibe of Good Times Roll. A whole different, direction with the poem itself, but I think it does run down that path with the underlying notes again. I'm so good at that today, but that's kind of the way I've taken it. And I wish I had access to pull up the lyrics from Good Times Roll and kind of look back and forth a little bit and see where he was pulling it together. But all in due time. But nice work, Jack, and thanks for sharing with us, as always. Nice work.
Thank you, Gene. I think Jack likes to dig into a little other things, too, like he'll roll Dante or Shakespeare, but there's a touch of funkiness, and he did that last stanza, "Let good chimes bloom all around the gloom, if the donkey's fluffy face swinging on the double bass, disenchant all, and I gently crawl." As Beck said, there's a little bit of playfulness in there, but the whole thing had me thinking of Don Quixote, you know, tilting at windmills, the donkey in the background, the madness of everything, so to speak, especially when he threw in the funky, my funky prime, and I have a stony smile of a painted silent style. There is this touch of that note in this, which I found to my liking. Thank you, Jack.
Nice.
All right, Pam, we're coming to you again.
All right. Great comment there, by the way, Rex. And up next we have "Let the Good Times Roll" by Eminem, Pam 25, and Dexter. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. This is "Let the Good Times Roll" by Eminem, Fan 25. Let's both be young but mostly dumb, and make a special night to look back when we're old and gray. Let laughter shine its light. We'll stick our ass out at car windows. We'll stick our ass out car windows as drivers roll on by. You'll laugh so hard you'll spit your drink. I am a funny guy. I'll place your hand inside of mine. Together we will dance. Will our lips meet under the moon? I'll leave that up to chance. I promise that by midnight's time, your wishes will come true. My wish will surely be fulfilled by being next to you. We'll pull down our pants. We'll pull down pants of those who sag. They surely will not chase. I have some water-filled balloons, if that is not the case. The night will end in such a high, we will not get to sleep. But think of what we will have gained, the memories we'll keep. Let's live this life as best we can. Let joy into our soul. Sometimes it pays to just let loose and let the good times roll. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Gene, why don't we start with you?
Well, this is surely about someone letting the good times roll and, you know, having a good time and enjoying themselves. You know. I think he hit all those, those notes very well. So it was a great take on the prompt and nicely written. Kind of funny, actually. I liked it.
Thank you, Gene. Mm-hmm. Bam, how about you?
Yeah, this is great. It definitely brings a smile to your face. I mean, all the stuff mentioned here, as you get older, I'm at that point where I definitely think, oh, my God, I would never do anything like this. But, you know, when you're wild and you're young and you're drinking and, you know, but I think it's interesting how it goes back and forth a little bit. Like, there's mostly humor in here and this, like, body behavior of, you know, that exuberance of youth creating memories that will last a lifetime. But there's also, he passes in a dash of tender moments, like, you know, will our lips meet under the moon? I'll leave that up to chance. I promise that by midnight's time, your wishes will come true. My wish will surely be fulfilled by being next to you. It's interesting because, you know, the most of the poem, it's just fun. It's ridiculous. It's a wild and crazy night of people in their, like, late teens, early 20s. But that right there in the center is that little bit of tenderness, that little bit of romance, that makes you think maybe later on, you know, they developed a mature relationship together. So you never know, but, excellent write, great take on the prompt and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this had a very nostalgic feel. About time of innocence, but not just a time of innocence, but a time previous to this generation or just this time period. When you could do dumb stuff and not possibly get shot. And this nostalgic feel of having a great night go well and everybody had fun. It's kind of something we all love to stew on, and I thought he did a fantastic job of capturing that.
Nice.
Well said. I like that. You're right. There is that noted touch of irreverence. Stick your ass out the car windows, drivers roll by. Hey, you got the hand slapping on the backside, and you've got the strange looks coming across. What the hell? Hey, you know what? Have a smile. It's Saturday night. And the water balloons, it's all about irreverency and getting back to a little bit of something that gets missed when things are so stringent. And that is what he hits down at the back end, letting the good times roll. So the opening stanza and the last stanza meet each other from sitting and as the old and gray moment to, hey, you know what? The remembrance through all of that and come to terms with the fact, yes, sometimes you just got to let loose and have some fun. Thank you, Eminem. All right, ma'am, we're back to you.
You know, because of Dexter's comment, I'm now picturing somebody putting their ass out the window and getting a buck shot in the cheek.
Well, that's plenty of bad stuff, but yeah.
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of running up and pulling some random person's pants down or something, you know what I mean? You might get...
Not so much the buckshot, but rock salt. There's something that leaves a lasting impression as it burns while it melts.
Oh, ouch. Oh, my gosh, that would, yeah. The rock salt, that totally would burn. Ouch.
People don't have quite the sense of humor they used to anymore.
Oh, exactly. That is, yeah. Yeah. Plus, not only do they not have the same sense of humor, everybody's, like, suing everybody else. You know, it's just a totally different world. That's for sure. All right. Up next we have Let's Pretend That Is Okay by Marius Alexandru, and it goes like this. When things are good, I'm here with you. When all goes wrong, I'll be there too. I'll hold the umbrella when it rains. I'll be your balm through all the pain. I'll close my eyes when you will lie. I know, my love, how hard you try. I'll hear even your silent scream. I'll be your all in all your dreams. If I will go, what will you do? What's going to be right there for you? Who's going to be right there for you? So let's pretend that is okay and stay together for one more day. For one more day, day after day. For one more year, year after year. But still pretend that is okay. Smile after smile, tear after tear. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Dex, let's start with you, please.
This is a fantastic poem. I just get the feeling of it that it is a very one-sided as far as just the notion. You know, there's that saying that you can't keep a lover once they're gone or whatever it is. And this one is just feels like, you know, you can, I close, and know my love, or I'll hear even your silent screams. You know, this person's looking out so much for this other person, or trying to be there for this person in so many different ways. But truth is if they're already gone, it really doesn't matter almost what foot or how much effort you put forth at that point. So I thought it was a very painful write and very well done.
I like that. Thank you, Dex. Gene, how about you? But you got to unmute first.
Yes, I do. God. Every time. I think that Marius did a great job with this piece. God, I hate that. It was well written, and it had such a sad undernote to it, which was his intent, you know, just by his choices and what have you. And I think that, you know, it was just well composed. I was surprised that he didn't have any kind of an audio attached to it, because normally he does. But definitely, you know, a great job. So thank you, Marius, very much.
Well, Fetching, thank you. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I have to agree with what both Dexter and Gene said. Definitely a beautiful write with a sad undertone. I like the I'll hold the umbrella when it rains. I'll be your balm through all the pain. The idea of being there for somebody, but, you know, as Dexter mentioned, as much as you're there for somebody, if the relationship's already over, it's over. I also like, I'll close my eyes when you will lie. And that, because, you know, it gives the thought to me that whether it's dealing with somebody's addiction or dealing with somebody cheating on you or whatever is going on, if they keep lying over and over again and you're willing to ignore it, you're not, it's not doing any of you good. What's that word they call? Codependent. It's a very codependent relationship. What makes this really sad is the end with the false hope, in the hope that if I close my eyes, I ignore your lying, I ignore the problems that are between us, then our relationship will last not just days, but years, you know, and that has a really real emotional impact. So very well done here.
Great comments, guys. I think the real sadness is the notation that they're both willing to accept those ground rules and stay together day after day, year after year, killing each other in essence, as though they've already resigned themselves to the fact that, hell, nobody else will have us, so we might as well be the miserable people together. At least misery does love its own company. And we're coming back your way, Pam.
All right. That is a really good point there made, Rex, about how misery loves company. And, you know, if we can't be around anybody else that understands our misery, we might as well be around each other. So very cool.
All right. So which one to go next?
Next we have Fertilizer by E.J. Cool. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Recognize that by E.J. Cool. Where did you leave him? When you went off that night into the latest hour before sunrise, out beyond the country roads, deep in the thick backwoods, among the black snakes and the stony toads, where did you leave him? After you stumbled through thorns and trees, finally fell on bloody knees, did you lay her gently down in the freshly opened ground, dirt filling up her pretty mouth? Did you kiss her yellow hair before you left her lying there to be eaten, picked to the bone there? There are pieces of her floating in the water. Where did you leave her? Even if she could be identified, no one will ever find her. She's just feeding the worm, meager leftovers reduced to fertilizer. Where did you leave her? And phone. All right, Pam, you get to kick this one off.
I knew you were going to call on me. I just knew it. All right. Well, great read there, Rex. You know, EJ has such a creative way of thinking. I just, this is an excellent write on the idea. To me, and it might be all the crime shows that I watch, like the CSI and the NCIS and all that, but it has the whole feel to me or of a serial killer, well, obviously a serial killer, but like that, not like the serial killer being interviewed by the police. And he's basically playing mind games with them, and they're running out of time. And the anxiety of the situation is really made plausible, or whatever the word is, and has an impact with the repetitiveness of the line, "Where did you leave her?" And then he keeps replying, and all these police officers want to know, these detectives want to know, is where is her body? And with his, there's almost like these mocking replies. After you stumbled through thorns and trees, finally fell on bloody knees, you lay her gently down in this freshly open ground, dirt filling up her pretty mouth. I feel like even though that's a question, it's actually being asked by the serial killer in order to show that he will simply mock them with what little bits that he will tell them. But great choice. I like one-word titles for occasionally, especially when they really, give a hint about the write itself. So this was definitely very well done.
Thank you, Dan. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I'm curious. Is this the one EJ was talking about singing or turning into a song? I'm not sure.
I think so.
It would have been pretty awesome. I got another song for
it. It was a cool song.
But, yeah, for me, what I just get out of this is, like, what Pam was saying as far as, like, an interrogator and just the frustration. You know, I mean, I think about a guy like John Wayne Gacy. I mean, it's just so, it must have been so frustrating, the overwhelming evidence, and or just different killers all the time that they've had just overwhelming evidence that it's you, but they just won't say it, you know, and they're going to go to jail or they're going to go to prison. There's nowhere else to go but just saying yes, and this is where they are, but they just won't. And that frustrating process where you probably want to kick the hell out of the dude, but I thought it was a great write.
Great, Dex, thank you. And Gene, how about you?
I thought this was a great dark piece, really well written and put together. Kind of creepy, kind of, but that's the way dark pieces are, and they're supposed to be that way. And I thought it was just really nicely done. Interesting, to say the least, but very well composed. So thanks, EJ, very much.
Well, you guys have taken up all the angle with the serial killer and the cops. How about another way? How about this is a guy who's done enough. Now he's trying to remember where he laid a particular body that he wishes to visit, so to speak, pay homage to. Because they do like going back now and then to maybe fiddle with the remains or just sit and have a picnic out on the bank with them. So this kind of walks that sort of, where did you leave her? Think. When you went off that night, the latest hour before sunrise, out beyond the country roads, deep in the thick backwoods, among the black snakes and stony tunnels, where did you leave her? That racking of the brain thought had me running on that idea that this is him trying to figure out, damn it, I forgot something. I got to go back and make it right, and I can't do that without actually remembering where I put it. So the idea, for me anyway, hits on that note. Yeah, he's a little bit befuddled now because he knows he has to go back. He doesn't know exactly where he put it.
I love that, Rex. Have you ever seen Mr. Brooks where he's got William Hurt as like his side conscious that he's talking to the whole time? That almost goes along that line. That's a great thought.
Well, you know, I got to think a little differently. But it does, it plays off well on both sides. It does walk well as the guy's been caught, but I do like the twisted angle of him racking his brain. Damn it, think, man, think.
Yeah, and that relatable is definitely a cool twisted angle there, Rex. I like it. Oh, by the way, did you see what EJ said, Rex? He says, oh, Rex, that's a morbid interpretation. I love it.
Well, they all get on the morbid side. That's why they keep doing it. They got to have friends. All right, where are we going next?
All right, up next we have Drive Me Home by Betty Page. And Jean, will you give this a read for us, please?
Sure. Okay, Drive Me Home by Betty Page. Please just drive me home. I want to lay down and sleep, get lost in my dreams. We'll meet at the beach, chase each other for a while, till we're exhausted. Please just drive me home. I want to lay in your bed, get lost making love. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Dex, why don't we kick it off with you, please?
A little bit of a brevity for Betty Page, but I enjoyed it. Seems like she kind of switched up her style. Normally she's like, I don't know, I'm just kind of thinking back from all the ones, and she's normally about four-line stanzas, things like this. So it is a little bit of a brevity, but she says a lot in this. Get lost in my dreams. We'll meet at the beach. You know, this is a person I think that maybe is very innocent, wants to maybe cross that line and into these different fantasies and things like that. But from what it makes me think of is back in the day when it was supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be married before you had any type of sexual relations with your partner. And it's not something you can do in real life. So just take me home so I can think about this.
Well said, Jack. Thank you very much. And Pam, what about you?
Well, I like Dexter's interpretation. I hadn't really thought of that. I did definitely see it as a couple, but I saw it as, well, I thought it was, first of all, a wonderful heartfelt brevity. But I felt like it was about just simply having enough about being in the crowd, being at the party, being, you know, out in public. And even though she had it switched around, like, I felt like, you know, it was just a really nice write on the whole idea of saying, you know what, take me home, make love to me, and then don't just make love to me. I want us to fall asleep together. I want us to wake up together, you know, the next morning. I thought it had just a really nice, tender tone to it. And a delicate touch of sensuality, which I enjoyed and appreciated. So very well done.
Well said, Sam. Thank you. And how about you, Jean?
You did it. You did it. You know, I thought this was nicely penned by Betty. And it was a brevity. I agree with you, Dexter. It's much shorter than we usually see from her. But it was just very... It was succinct, you know. Take me home. I want to lay down and sleep and get lost in my dreams. That's not what she had in mind in that. And, you know, when it got down to the end, she changed her mind completely. But, you know, go Betty. I think it was a great job and an excellent take on the prompt. So, well done.
Well said, Jean. Thank you. I'm going to go with the lines out of the song. Who's going to take you home tonight? That's a repeated tone in the song itself. And it hits on the thought of being at the party and something's happened. And he's offering up, who's going to take you home? Because it sure as hell ain't going to be me. So this is a mirrored thought to that song, to the song itself, offering up the other angle where she says, please just take me home and make sure it's your place. All right, Sam, we're coming back your way.
All right. Gene's comment made me think of the saying about a woman's prerogative to change her mind.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Right yeah. Now it's, hey, if you're both at a party and you're drunk and you hook up, hey, it's first one who gets to the college office to report the rape gets the prize.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Wow. There's...
Yes, a little bit morbidity, but that actually just happened recently. A guy just hooked up with this girl recently, and he said, well, I better get down and report it before she does. It's definitely my word.
Well, we've already been looking for dead bodies and everything like that, so.
Oh, absolutely. Let's add to the mayhem. All right, Pam.
All right, Dexter. I've put your poem up. Go ahead, give it a read for us, please.
And I got to kind of say this, too. I'm not real familiar with the songs, and I just kind of read over the lyrics on it and rolled with it. This is Love in a Fireball. I like them dangerous, out of my league, and a little crazy. Knife in her purse, laying jumbled in the bottom, next to some eyeliner. She's a Harley Roadster, blowing Marlboro exhaust, cherry lighting at the break of dawn, slipping out of her clothes. She strips us of our age, carve our names into the night. Her skin glowing, pressing against mine, caressing me in her tide, raising hell with God's gift, one shot at a time, grinding in front of death's close eye. End poem.
Great read, Dex. It kind of reminds me of Bad Girls, What You Gonna Do? What You Gonna Do When They Call For You? All right, Dan, you get to use it.
I was laughing when you called my name, and I can't hear over my own laugh. First of all, Dexter, great title, Love in a Fireball. I love how that's a great play on words because, you know, the girl has a personality like a stick of dynamite. And then you also think of, or at least I do, a fireball whiskey. I like the three-line stanzas. I know I've said that before, but I do because I think when you use couplets or three lines, you have to really carefully think about every word. I particularly am drawn to she's a Harley roadster blowing Marlboro's exhaust, cherry lightning the break of dawn. Slipping out of her clothes, she strips us of our age, carve our names into the night. I feel like that line there particularly, she strips us of our age, is the whole idea of people who aren't necessarily chronologically young, but living life to the fullest like they're young. Raising hell with God's gift one shot at a time. Amen to that. Great stuff there, Dex.
Thank you, Pam.
And Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, if that's not the dangerous type, I don't know what is there, Dex. You know. Yes, ma'am. That comes to mind. Yes, ma'am. Just really well done piece. You know, I like the three-line stanzas, and I think that you kind of painted a picture of her. You know, so the imagery was good. And, it was a great write, definitely. Definitely. We play the music in the background and we can pull it all together. I like it.
Thank you, Phil.
You got it.
Thank you, guys. Well, you know that sort of the bad boys, the rebel without a cause, so to speak. Well, this one's definitely the rebel with a cause, and that is... satiation. So she's a Harley roaster, blowing Marlboro exhaust, cherry light in the break of dawn. I like the double entendre note, that last line, as well as there's kind of a noted thought too. her being a little older and showing the ropes to a youthful, vigorous young man kind of hit that. Yeah, you know what? I got that role once. I want to go back there and do it again. So the girls always go for the bad boys. And, hey, you got to have that note where some of the boys go for the bad girl, even if you might get stuck with the knife neck.
That's right.
Nothing like a little thrill in the danger to make things all right.
Yep.
Well, that goes with the prom, right? It's called it. I like them danger. What was the song?
Yeah.
The dangerous type, right?
Oh, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was that.
Got to roll the dice.
Great.
All right, Pam, what are we up to next?
All right. Well, up next, I'm going to put my right, which is actually a song parody that I will not be singing because I cannot keep the tune to the guy, the singer of the Cars. Well, pretty much I can't keep any tune, but that's beside the point. This is a song parody to Ta Ta Way Away, and it's called Hot Beef at the Deli. And it goes like this. Hot beef at the deli with the harmony of beer. The talk is hot and witty with jazz club atmosphere. I keep on swallowing hot beef at the deli while all juice is dripping down. While my lips are still gripping, my face all aglow. My taste buds are singing yum, yum, mayo, mayo. I keep on swallowing hot beef at the deli while hot sauce is dripping down. The cool smoke of Chica's rhythm of the band. Dessert is cream and peaches that I balance in my hand. I feel it dripping down. A napkin's what I'm needing. Condiments keep sliding down. Well, the meat here is spicy, and I keep on swinging down. Hot beef in the deli. One last swallow, and I'm gone. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, you get first looks at this.
Oh, my God, Pam, I'm afraid to touch this one. Oh, God. Where my mind doesn't go.
Oh, yes, it's pickles and meatballs. Come on in. The deli's hot tonight.
Yep. Hot beef at the deli. Okay, Pam. Clever, I wish I could gather the tune in my brain to the original. Just, you know, for a little bit of backgrounds here. But I think that it was a clever piece, as always yours are. And you definitely held true to it all the way through. I mean, you know, you kept that deli thing going all the way through. Clever
yeah.
Piece.
Thank
exactly.
you,
Jean. You're welcome, hon. Thank you.
And Dex, how about you?
Well, it's that sandwich that you can't set down one time once you got it in your grip or it's going to spill all over the place, you know, and I don't know how to take that either, you know, I guess. But I was thinking about it more in the literal sense the whole time, and then Jean spiraled me into a different realm with this whole piece.
Sure, blame me. Go ahead.
Normally, that's me. Normally, that's me with the dark sense of humor, but I was just thinking about that sandwich that is dripping all over the place, and it's like, it's good, but it's like, what the hell can you do with it? You know, it's like you can't even set this down to eat the fries again. But I thought that this was a great right.
Thank you, Dexter.
Yep. The beef here is corned and well hung. Just like a salami.
Oh, my God.
And, yes, we're dipping on that. Yeah, yum, yum, mayo, mayo. Yeah, as though there isn't anything else going on here. Cream peaches that I balance in my hands. Rump roast on the table. Yes. And the pastrami's got a bit of a bite to it. You might want to watch on that one. But yes, everything is on display. Come on down to the hot beef and ham deli buffet.
That's right. Oh, thank you, Rex. And thank you for the inspiration.
Well, I'd say you took that one way out of the box and had way too much fun with it.
Oh, I did. I had a lot of fun. You know what's particularly funny to me besides listening to everybody's comments is the fact that Dexter thought I was more likely to write a poem about a sandwich than anything possibly naughty.
Yep.
Well, hey, I don't want to get that in depth about that thought or that scenario taking place. It was like kind of like
I came across this piece years ago that was talking about eating this. What was it? It was written so well, you didn't know what it was until the last line. It said, "Damn, that Long John was good." Referring to a pastry stuffed with cream.
Oh my God!
Certain things I want to be naive to.
The only thing I want to say is it's not even
eating a hot beef sandwich is one of those things that I'd prefer to be naive to.
There you go. I can understand that. Sometimes naivety is a good thing.
When?
I don't know. I guess in the case like this.
Checking.
All right. Where do you want to go next?
All right. Up next we have the Nefarious Knight by Arcana Amore. And we have a recording for that. So here we go.
The nefarious night embraces me. It caresses me within its engulfing cloak, where I reside in nebulous nocturnal rapture. A sweet kiss of cool umbra air beneath the glorious glow of melting moonlight. I am as much a part of it as the darkness, wherein I feed upon its enchanting mystique, dwelling the deepest shadows of blackest pitch, which bathe me in ebony seas of shade. There to dance midst drowning deadly desire. My midnight madness plunges deviant depths as craving grips me in a crepuscular clutch, consuming my thoughts in a flood of blood, to hunt and haunt this obsidian hinterland, where predators roam in search of prey. My remorseless nature rampantly reigns, a silent stillness that softly sweeps each sound around that pierces the peace and beguiles my thoughts with a solemn stare and whispered breeze fills the air. that I should share this rancid revelation. Speaking such things that mortal minds dread, as I swoop with awe on unsuspecting victims, their plight watched over by eventide eyes, whose calls are swallowed in sundown screams.
Great read, Arcana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very appreciated. And Dex, why don't we start with you? What'd you think? Oh, and yeah, and he went with "You're All I've Got Tonight" as the other prompt.
Well, I mean, it's just a fantastic SoundCloud. You know, the production behind it. I'm curious on what his influences are as far as his favorite movies, almost like Bride of Frankenstein. He has like a very almost 30s and 40s vocabulary and almost like film noir of classic horror movies on being able to build a scenario. And this is one of that of just a savage person that, you know, that you hear about with serial killers, almost when they go from being that normal person to just embracing that craving and going all in and becoming one with the night. I thought that this was a fantastic write.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. Pam, how about you?
Well, first of all, I told him that nefarious is like one of my all-time favorite words, especially in a dark write. You know, this had a wonderful flow and alliteration. I do like how it has a whole classic horror vibe, like a classic vampire type tale. And what I like is, and I guess it might be like a serial killer, but I get a whole kind of vampire vibe, especially with the kind of condemnation attitude. My remorseless nature rampantly reigns, has wonderful alliteration. I have to agree that, as cravings grip me in a crepuscular clutch, consuming my thoughts in a flood of blood. It feels like very vampire-ish to me, but I think it could be taken many ways. Just really excellent imagery, has a very classic feel to it. I have to agree also with EJ, where she says, when she mentions this obsidian hinterland was really absolutely a great line. And what I like about this is this is a killer without remorse. This is a killer who simply does what his baser instinct calls him to do. So just an excellent dark write and wonderful SoundCloud performance.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was excellent. And I loved his take on the song, you know, "You're All I've Got Tonight," because it feeds into that killer frenzy, you know, that's building inside, you know, that, you know, he has to do what he has to do, and he has to find prey, and, you know, whoever that unlucky person is, you know, they've all he's got tonight, you know, they're the ones, and they're going to fulfill or satisfy that need that he has. And I think that it was a wonderful performance, as all of his are, with great imagery. And I have to agree with Pam, the alliteration was wonderful as well. So, nice job. Thanks, Arcana.
Absolutely. I walk the same thoughts with the production, as well as the alliteration. And then hit on Dex's angle with the noir style. Because without the deliverance into the background, you don't really get the same effect. The nefarious night embraces me. It caresses me with its engulfing cloak, where I reside in nebulous nocturnal rapture. The sweet kiss of cool umbra air beneath the glorious glow of melting moonlight. What a great thought to setting the scene and then continuing that in a second by hitting, again, dwelling the deepest shadows of blackest pitch, which bathe me in ebony seas of shade, there to dance midst drowning deadly desire. And then the uptick, midnight madness, remorseless nature, and then the thought of sharing this rancid revelation, speaking such things that mortal minds dread, kind of hits me with that note of Louis talking to that reporter in Interview with the Vampire, and cleansing his soul, so to speak, with how it works, being on that liquid edge, that rush, the need for the blood, the satiation, and how one goes about picking up and preying upon mortality for that which is so easily needed as a singularity night after night after night. Great piece there, Arcana. Thank you. All right. What would you want to go next?
All right. Up next, that is a good question. And the answer is coming up. So here we go. Up next, we have Moving in Stereo by Randy G. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Moving in Stereo by Randy G. I remember very clearly the summer of 78. The music was rocking. Those times were great. Me and my pals always together day and night. The music set the tone. It always kept us right. Spring scenes, darkness on the edge of town. Plus Seeger still the same. Never let us down. And then Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young. Deep and blues just easily rolled off the tongue. Being from Boston, we liked our local bands. Like Jay Giles and Boston were always on hand. Then came a new band with a different sound, calling themselves The Cars, Stardom Bound. They were unique as they came on the radio. Benjamin Orr's voice had us moving in stereo. That summer, we all let the good times roll. It's just what we needed, touching our soul. And boom. Nicely done, Randy. All right, Pam.
Yeah, you know, you did a wonderful read of that. I do wish Randy could have called in and read it himself, but you definitely did an excellent read. It's just always, you know, fun to hear from the poets whenever they can call in. But what I like is that he condensed this to 1 year, because it seems like everybody has that 1 year in their life that really stands out. You know, as always, it's a wonderful rhyming poem. I like that it has a very nostalgic vibe, and that he's paying tribute not only to this great year, but this great year of friendship and music. I particularly like that he mentions being from Boston. We liked our local band, like Jay Gellis in Boston, were always on hand. And then goes to The Cars, you know, with the call. And then came a new band with a different sound, calling themselves The Cars, Stardom Bound. They were unique as they came on the radio. I like that it pays tribute to The Cars, but it also pays tribute to the music and the fun of that particular year in his life. So excellent write.
Thank you, Dan. And Dex, how about you?
I think it really, you know, sets the stage, I guess, for the importance of the Cars and what it would actually take to break the mold. You know, if you were almost sitting there and how easily, with all of these classic songs being played, how easy would it have been to just fizzle out and never really, you know, but it was, they obviously had something very special, and that's what this shows, is that just to be able to pierce through the scene at that time and be able to make your name known and make it onto the radio and be in there competing with the Springsteens, the Bostons and stuff, says a lot, and I think so. He sets that tone very well.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. And Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, I think Randy did a great job again, as everybody has tonight. But I thought it was an awesome write, very relatable to me, very well composed. And I thought he did a great job resetting the stage of that period of time, you know, with all that was going on. Because, well, I know it well. So, yes, great memories, great thoughts. Nice job, Randy. Appreciate it.
I'll agree with that, too. And the funky thing about Cars was they were getting airplay without having signed a recording contract or without signing a recording contract and not having put out a record or a single. There was one song, You're Just What I Needed, was playing. The disc jockeys got wind of a demo they made that they were shopping around to some various record deals, and it got played so much that it caused Elektra and Arista to try and sign them, and they signed with Elektra, but the music was actually already on the radio before it was actually on the record itself and then released. So they got a lot of wide airplay in Boston at the time, and it kind of helped propel them into the scene up front and having somebody take them. So that also hits on what this is all about, because that happened in, they formed in 76. They were playing the New England scene in 77, and they did a nine-cut demo, which made its rounds somewhere, I guess. I don't know who picked it up, but somebody, some disc jockey did, and he started playing it. And everything's there. That's a little bit of history. All right, Kim, way back to you.
All right. And up next we have But She Used to Be Mine by Paul Brott. And Dexter, give that a read for us, please.
Absolutely. Okay, this is But She Used to Be Mine, Paul Brott. I don't mind you writing here and wasting all my time. But when I finally finished this, it nearly blew my mind, yes. So it's bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. The good times are going to roll. So let the good times roll. Moving in stereo has taken its toll. I'm all mixed up, as already conceded. Realizing this is just what I needed. Cars sound made by Rick Ocasek. Certainly no mistaking it. Don't you stop. Give it a whirl. With my best friend's girl. Oh, oh. Oh, oh. But she used to be mine. And Paul.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Gene, why don't we kick it with you first, please?
Well, you know, Paul did a great job with this. I was reading it as it went along. The second stanza kind of threw me for a second, but I caught myself. I was like, okay. But I thought it was clever that the way he put in all the different lines of the different songs and the different references throughout. You know, when he first started out, I was like, yeah, I don't mind you writing here. I'm wasting all my time. I was like, yeah. And the only thing through in the Everly Brothers, I was like, wait a minute. Am I confused? You know, I've been accused of that. Then he kind of turned that around, and I thought it was kind of awesome. You know, the good times are going to roll. But clever. It was cleverly done. And, like I said, a lot of great references. And then when he ended up with But She Used to Be Mine, clever stuff. So nice job, Paul. Great job.
Thank you, Gene. And Ayon, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is clever. I felt like in general it was about, you know, letting go, being free, and you know, living life to the fullest. But there was definitely also that sadness there, almost like that whole idea of by wanting to be free, running off and living life to the fullest, you turn around and the girl that used to be yours all of a sudden belongs to your best friend. I did like the nod to the cars in the end stanza, and of course the the song line, "So let the good times roll," and "Moving in Stereo" has taken its toll. Wonderful use of the song titles or lines, and I also, you know, "I'm all mixed up as already conceited." Like, I like the use of the word conceited, as in, you know, we've taken a vote and everybody agrees that I am definitely mixed up. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Dan. And Dex, how about you?
Albright, you bastard. You almost duped me into singing. You did it so well, you almost duped me into singing on the air live.
And the funny thing is,
you almost
could have
help
hit
it.
On
you know, during the read,
it
like almost
well.
Like, you almost just can't help but to hit the notes that he's doing. And as I was going, God, dang it. All of a sudden, I catch myself kind of almost drifting towards the note. And I just thought it was a very good piece. But, he almost tricked me into singing. So, very well done.
And that was just the first line, right, Beck?
Right from the top line. The original was, "I don't mind you coming here and wasting all my time. That's from the would have been the original line of it. But I like the thought, "I don't mind you writing here and wasting all my time. But when I finally finished this, it nearly blew my mind." Yeah. So it's bye, bye, love. Plus that other rendition to the Isley Brothers there. And then "So let the good times roll, moving in stereo." Nice touch. It works so damn well that you can't help but actually sing it, like Dex said, as you read it. And I like the back end of this too, because he hits on a couple. "My best friend's girl," that's a song. Plus, that last line is also one of the last lines for the song, "But she used to be mine." And the thoughts of Rick Ocasek, and Randy had Benjamin Orr in his as a notation. Those were the two original guys that started. They came out of Columbus, Ohio. Well, they were playing out down in Columbus, Ohio, and Ann Arbor back in the mid to late 60s until they moved up to Boston in 71, 72. And they caught the rest of the gang around them finally right around 74, 75. And then started getting their act together as the music they wanted, which was kind of some people called it a little bit of rockabilly, a little bit of old-time rock and roll, some jazz, and minimalized punk. So it was a mixture of sound, a lot, because they were heavily using synthesizers as well as guitars for their particular noted sound. So I really like this. This is actually a very good piece there. Thank you, Paul. All right, Dan.
Oh, my God, this is so funny. So EJ says, "So many musicians come out of Ohio," which happened to be the state I was born in. And then she says, "Something about this state makes people want to start bands and leave."
Well, maybe it's the burning Erie.
Probably. Too funny. Oh my gosh. All right. Up next we have "Highway" by SYW9007. And Gene, will you give that a read for us, please?
I'll give it a whirl. Okay, this is "Highway" by SYW9007. "Itching for a motor, screaming on the highway, searching for a cure. Found only the blind, hitching those echoed answers, bleeding this yearning.
breeding a lost core, echoes searching from within, life blurs to a bore. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Well, I have to say, this is definitely a strong brevity. I really liked how there was kind of this repetitiveness. I don't know if there's repetitiveness, but there was definitely some great end and inner rhyme, or, you know, beginning and end rhyme in the line. And it had a nice flow to it. And the general vibe I actually got from it was the idea of searching for that high, like, of life, of a life that's out of control. Like, you know, how some people just want to, like, live on the edge, you know, do things that are dangerous, like jump out of airplanes, or, you know, go bungee jumping, or, you know, drag cars, you know, on the highway. Like, it just feels to me like somebody who keeps trying to get this high until, like it says at the end, life blurs to a bore. And like, they've done it all, they've seen it all, and now there's nothing left to do, so it almost, like, comes to this grinding halt. So, excellent write, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Dex, how about you?
My interpretation of it is that, you know, how important it is that, you know, and that everything needs a purpose, or needs to be used for their purpose, you know, whether it be people or whatever. Because I mean, I get this feeling, because it's kind of a clever take, it's kind of a spin on a highway. You know, what's a highway that's not being used or driven on, or what's a night highway at the night that there's no cars out there? You know, it's a useless thing, you know. And so I felt like it was just a very clever take on, you know, you hear so many times as to being the driver of this perspective. I think that this was the take on the highway's perspective.
All right. Thank you, Dex. And Gene, how about you?
Hi, you know, I thought it was a great brevity. I thought it was clever and well written and nicely done. Yep, yep. And thank you.
I'm going to hit it with itching for a motor screen on the highway, searching for a cure. Kind of sounds like riding your bike into that note of freedom. And the thought of found only the blind hitching those echoed answers leading this yearning. It kind of hits on that thought of finding those people who have all the answers, yet they're the ones who are looking for the cure, because you've already found it, the idea of freedom. And breeding a lost core, echoes searching for within, life blurs to a bore. Kind of hits back at those people, the blind, not willing to take that step outside of their little bit of comfort zone, because, hey, it's safe. And they don't understand the total thought of screaming down that highway, wind in your face, so to speak. There is a nice touch of freedom in that you only get it by actually doing it. And the back end, life blurs to a bore, hits on that note that you're willing to settle for the ease of what you have, then you're not really living. Nicely done, S.W. Thank you very much. All right, Dan.
I liked your observations there, Rex, about the whole feel about, you know, getting out on the highway and, you know, just finding that freedom.
If you've never been on a bike doing 100 miles an hour down a highway, you don't really know what it means to fly in the moment and note that bit of freedom of the wind rushing by you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I've never have, but, you know, it sounds like a good experience for sure. But definitely.
Sounds terrifying to me, Rex.
Me too.
What?
Sounds terrifying to me, Rex.
Oh, God, no. It's a wonderful feeling. The only terrifying part of it is if you end up doing something stupid and you're skidding for about 400 yards and you're burned in road rash.
Oh, geez. So What kind of bike did you have, Rex?
750 Cowie.
Oh, awesome.
And you live to tell about it.
Yes.
Yes.
Even past the road rash.
Yep.
Watch that thing scoot through an intersection at 3 a.m., sparks flying everywhere. Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I'll put the
fear down. I do way too much dumb stuff, and a lot of people I see out there driving do way too many dumb stuff. It's a terrifying thought to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was the one who actually, I wrote down a 192 with a flag I had just taken off a hotel that we'd been drinking at, and I had it flapping in the breeze as I was going down the highway. And it just happened to be a British flag.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
All right, Pam, where are we going next?
All right. Up next we have...
Tough the moon, everybody, like that poem earlier on a motorcycle, too.
Right. Right. Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes you have to sacrifice the sex.
You got to walk along the edge and live it.
Yep. And don't worry, if you don't have the right outfit on, man, you can guarantee you're going to moon somebody if you flip it. Right, Rex?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You strip you right on down to nothing. Mm.
Besides, there's something about doing 400 miles on a bike and getting off, and you got rubbery legs. Your ass is numb. You're a little bow-legged for about the first half hour until the blood finally gets worked back up into the right positions throughout your legs.
Oh, God. Okay, we have to move on now before I say something I'll regret.
Yeah, that might be a stumble moment here.
Yeah, I was keeping my thoughts to myself, too.
Yes. Vroom, vroom, girls.
Okay, I'm muting myself.
Are we ready for the next poem?
I had the rumble from a Harley.
No, you know, the only time I ever rode a motorcycle, my dad had a motorcycle when I was like 10, and he took me on a ride on it, and the day later, the motorcycle supposedly broke down. I think my mom got mad at him for letting us ride a motorcycle, because it just seemed like a very odd coincidence that the motorcycle broke down the day after he let us kids ride on it.
Mm. Well, that sounds like a...
Ma,
so,
Tony,
no
one
here is exciting.
No, get through that.
That is not a Harley. That did not sound like a Harley, Dex, I hate to tell you.
No, that's one of those dirt bikes. They rev loud and they sound like canaries on steroids.
Absolutely.
All right, Pam, where are we going?
All right. Up next, we have Deja Vu by Jesna Sajan, and it goes like this. Have I seen you again, listened to you, talked to you, walked with you? Why the deja vu? Have we met in a past moment, fists pitted at you, bottling words at you, bows and arrows hurtled at you? Why the deja vu? Have we known each other a role at par with you, played the songs to you, painting pictures of someone in you? Why the deja vu? Have we worked together before, shared the same house before, turned tables together, shove chairs at each other. Why this deja vu? Have you a poor memory like me, familiarity of unknown history, see, similarity in unseen corners, conscience of his and hers? Why this deja vu? Have I tempted you before, shown you worlds unknown? Have you been pained by me? History repeats for me. Why this deja vu? Have I left you alone? Isolate, bitterness, curse born. Fingers hurled at me, grinding teeth. Skies hears it, hurls at me. Why this deja vu? Have you turned me away when I wanted to stay? Your world was better than me. Thought that I would be fine. Why this deja vu? My conscience plays tricks with me, shows me memories, taunts me. You and I lived together and apart. Breath left us, we stayed apart. Why this deja vu? Our roles were meant to be. We keep repeating history. Be better, relearning our lessons. Repeat or repeat, mistakes dozen. The reason for this deja vu. And poem.
Great read, Sam. Thank you very much. All right, Dex, what do you think about this?
Yeah, this is a very intriguing write that has a lot of depth to it and offers up a question that, you know, we can all sit here and give our theories on and things like this. It's a question that it'll never be answered. You know, there's certain questions that, you know, like why, you know, when you have that deja vu, it's just an unexplainable thing. I mean, people can have different theories. There's thoughts that since it's an infinite universe, that there's an infinite amount of Rexes and Dexters and Pams and Jeans doing the same exact show right now as we are, and this is an infinite play out. And so it's like, why are these deja vus happening and you're caught in this cycle? It's a tough place to be trying to answer a question that's unexplainable. So tough, very well done.
Thank you, Dex. Gene, how about you?
Gosh, I hope I'm behaving myself on that other show, Dex. You know, since I had to stop myself on this one. I thought this was a great piece. Well written, well thought out. I think it was a great take on the prompt that it was written for, you know, well, the two. One was a clear conscience is a sign of a bad memory. And then the other one is when you battle with your conscience and lose, you win. So I thought it was a great take on those two prompts. And nicely written. So thanks for sharing. Appreciate it, Jasmine.
Nicely said, Gene. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah. I thought it was a great poem. I liked what both Dexter and Gene had to say. I felt like I couldn't quite pinpoint if it was mostly about two people who couldn't figure out why they hated it. At first, I thought it was about two people who didn't really know each other and couldn't figure out why they hated each other. But I think it's about people who were in a relationship or even are still in a relationship, and they keep making the same mistakes over and over again to the point where they hardly recognize each other. So, you know, just an excellent, excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I walk on that same thought because this hits on the angle of rebirth and always finding each other to produce the same mistakes because you didn't learn the first time around. And there is that notion that in rebirth, it's because you didn't learn what you were supposed to learn the first time around. So you get to repeat it until you actually learn what you're supposed to learn. And that she hits on that idea that the deja vu is always that. There's that thought of, have we been here before? And I have a brief memory that comes along with something you just said, totally. But yes, we haven't had that conversation. Yes, they have. It's that angle of repetition that walks through the many lives of the same people meeting again for the very first time and still they repeat the mistakes that they made before, learning nothing in the interim. In other words, their spirits don't get to evolve because they're stuck in this limbo state on that repetitious course, which can be confusing, overwhelming, and boy, you talk about a permanent Groundhog Day if you kept coming back to the very same person and kept repeating the very same mistakes all the time. That is like, it's kind of like the purity of hell in a moment because you're stuck without a single idea of why. And it's all because you refuse to open your eyes and your mind.
Absolutely.
We got Nick.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome Naomi to the show. Welcome, Naomi.
Thanks,
glad you could join us.
Hey, Naomi.
Hello. Hello. How are you all?
How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm in late,
Did you hear that last piece?
How are you? Nothing wrong
no,
with that. You've
I
already had the
sorry.
Meat sandwich form, and you're slipping in the back door of the show, so you're right here.
It's just been one of those nights.
Oh. Is the back door the devil where the free treats come from?
I totally did not get what you heard, or what you said, Rex. I'm sure it was funny.
Well, Jack offered up the thought with the deli, the sandwich shop, and she's coming in now. And I said, well, isn't the back door of the deli at night where the bums go to get their free treats?
Where the drunkards stagger in.
Yep. Nothing wrong with that.
All right, Pam, what we got now?
All right, up next we have Rhyming Love Story by Doc Frank and Dexter. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. Rhyming Love Story by Doc Frank. Lover number 5, so fair. Speak quiet into my ear and let me hear how you love me, dear. After I found you, 5 years of pain blew. My life began anew. New love would ensue. My love now cares. Don't feed the fears. Have few, if any, tears. Only 5 cheers. In the same canoe, after 5 days, love grew. We over time both knew. Blessed union, soon to debut. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Naomi, why don't you start with a comment, please?
Yeah, well, I like the first, he puts emphasis on the number 5 there. Lover number 5, so fair, speak quiet in my ear, let me hear how you love me, dear, after I found you 5 years, and then 5 cheers, and it's in the same canoe after 5 days, love grew. Great little poem here, a little brevity by Doc Frank.
Thank you, Naomi. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this had a really nice, tender feel to it. I liked how it was, the general idea to me was about the kind of love that accepts, cheers you on, and helps you heal when you're feeling broken. I do like it all the way through, but that end stanza particularly, in the same canoe after 5 days love grew, we over time both knew, blessed union soon to debut. So wonderful. Wonderful lines of the whole idea at the end of two people becoming 3. So, or maybe it's actually 2 people becoming 5 now that I think about it. Or it would be, what, 4 people? 4 people becoming 5. Geez, I'm horrible at math. But anyways, it's a romantic rite.
Thank you, Pam. G? Christine, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was a great brevity and a well-told love story. You know, I don't know the significance of five, but it's funny because he wrote it 5 days ago. If everybody looks down, it's pretty good. I wonder if he planned it that way. But definitely an intriguing piece. You know, it was nicely written and well expressed. So nice work, Frank.
Thank you, Jean. And Dex, how about you? What do you think?
Well, what Pam described was kind of a fling. She's like, it's a love story, or four or five times each other or whatever they said, you know. But anyway, no, I think that this is somebody that's just really in tune with the universe and or maybe the universe, somebody that's just in tune with things that are happening. And Jean basically kind of fell into it, and it tied in perfectly to the poem. But I think that it's like, has anybody been on that roll where they just keep noticing like a pattern, or like this is the right one, like almost like where you feel like you're on the right track. This has got to be it, and if five keeps popping up. That was kind of my take on it. It's just kind of one of those unique roles.
Okay, great. I like that. Well, there is, since he outlined five, there's significance in that number. And there's two things to that. It's spiritual in nature. It kind of refers to God's grace. But it also hits at the thought of freedom and happiness. So the five holds itself up as something a little bit else. The thought of, after I found you, 5 years of pain blew, my life began anew, new love would ensue. Again, my love now cares, don't feed the fears, have few if any tears, only five cheers. Again, the happiness in the note, the thought of being graced in the moment. That's what the last line, the last stanza kind of hits on. In the same canoe, after 5 days, love grew, we over time both knew, blessed union, soon to debut. The hint of marriage there, so that kind of rocks at the angle of God's grace to the last line, and freedom and happiness born unto the rest. Nicely done, Frank. All right, Pam. Back to you.
I like that, Rex. And here I thought they were on their way to having their fifth kid. That's how I was thinking. So. All right, Naomi, your poem is up. Go ahead and give it a read for us.
Okay.
From 5 to 7 to 30 seconds.
Yeah. No, there was an impromptu prompt six, I think there was the lyrics because she's only 17, so that caught my eye. So this is called Only 17, The List. Turn 18, go to a concert, repaint my room green, drink vodka, go to ITA, wear a necklace, rent a furnished apartment, and then smash everything. Cry over nothing, buy a dog, set sail to nowhere, smoke too much, take the subway, take pictures of you, make you laugh, inhale your sighs, lock myself up all day, write words of love, drink my coffee black, get up late, cry on a sidewalk, forgive all your mistakes, get my license, play the guitar, dance on a countertop, fill a shopping cart, then throw everything out the window, love you with all my being, I'm only good for this. Does that disappoint you? I can't think of anything better to do, and it may seem very ordinary, but that's the list of things I want to do with you. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you kick us off?
Ah, young love. Yeah, I thought this was just absolutely delightful, Naomi. I like that you call this Only 17, The List. And number one thing for a 17-year-old's wish list is turn 18. That to me that had great humor in it. You know, this to me was just about, you know, being young, being compulsive, and being in love, you know, and how you feel like that person is your whole world. I really like Get My...
Pam, are you mutating?
She was taken out to the cornfield.
Oh, that's funny. All right, well, we'll come back to her when she finally decides to check back in. Like, well, Jean, how about you? Since you got a nice thought in that first stanza with drink vodka, go to IKEA, wear an apron.
You know, Naomi, I thought this was great. You know, I thought it was very clever. And it's true because, you know, the first thing every 17-year-old wants to do is turn 18 so they can do what they want to do, you know. And the reality of it was what you wrote after that. You know, you want to get an apartment and drink vodka and go to IKEA and all those great things. But then in the next stanza, reality starts to rear its ugly head. You know, cry over nothing, buy a dog, sail to nowhere, smoke too much, take the subway, take pictures of you. But then it gets, you know, a little deeper into it. And I think that you really did a nice job expressing it. Just clever and very well done. So nice work.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Jean.
It was a fact,
right? All
right,
Pam,
right?
Why don't you grace us with that comment.
Didn't you get to hear any of my comment?
We heard a little bit, and then it kind of, you just phased off the earth.
Yeah, sorry, my phone dropped. No, well, as you probably heard, I really enjoyed turn 18, go to a concert, you know, because the whole idea, the number one wish of a 17-year-old is to turn 18. I love that this is about, I really enjoy that this is about the exuberance of youth, about how somebody at the age of 17 loves fully with their heart. They have a very impulsive nature. You know, it was just creative and fun all the way through. I like little touches like drink my coffee black because, you know, I remember that wanting to drink my coffee black at a young age felt like the height of sophistication. Get my license.
Yeah, and then regretting it deeply that you took that first sip.
And get my license, play guitar.
My face is better mud.
Dance on a countertop, fill a shopping cart, then throw everything out the window. You know, there's that whole idea of just not having to worry about anything but driving down the highway and, you know, having fun and being completely and madly in love. So excellent write and very well done, Naomi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Dex, how about you?
Don't you hate when you see a video of some young kids and you see somebody in the comments like, look at these savages, you know, I guess to a certain point, all kinds of savages that it's a little bit, but you know what, this is really kind of revealed the key in life is that compulsion is almost, and being impulsive early on is in a lot of ways a healthy thing because you find yourself within trying everything that you can. It's just about now all of a sudden, you know, the stage past 17 is managing that impulsiveness, and if you can't, then you're a struggling adult. But I thought that this was a fantastic piece.
Thank you. Thank you, Dick.
All right, Naomi, it kind of hits me with a – I know it says only 17 then the list, turn 18, but it had me with that sort of Alice Cooper back in the day. I'm 18 and I don't know what to do. Yet you've got this whole list here. And then you hit on some really hard notes because this is full of some a roller coaster of emotion. Rent a furnished apartment and then smash everything. cry over nothing, smoke too much, take pictures, laugh, sigh, lock myself up, write words of love, cry on a side work, forgive all your mistakes. So there's a tinge of reality that dips in as though, yeah, I want to do all these things. And then you hit that last stanza, and it's kind of, are you doing this because you want to chase them away? Then throw everything out the window. Love you with all my being. I'm only good for this. Does that disappoint you? I can't think of anything better to do. And it may seem very ordinary, but that's the list of things I want to do with you. Kind of hits right there at the idea of, I'm telling you what we're going to do, and you're going to like it. And if you don't, well, I'm here. So are you. It's kind of, it's almost it's a warning of what's to come, so to speak, which kind of hints a little bit of mischievousness that I've got you.
Thanks, Rex.
All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
All right. Well, the two carryovers we have are both on the longer side, so I'd like to save those for either after midnight or break on through, if that works for you. And maybe we could just have people plug their upcoming shows.
Since we only got 13.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. All right. So you want to have people plug their upcoming shows?
Have at it. What do you got Tuesday?
Tuesday, Naomi has Tuesday. What do you got for Tuesday, Naomi?
I have, what do I have Tuesday? Oh, my gracious.
Oh, book covers. I'll work some book covers.
Oh, yeah, book covers. Yeah, I took a couple of books. You know, I looked at the list of the amazing, most amazing book covers, and I just chose a few. So I have book covers. And then I have Art of Seduction on Wednesday, which is I See You in Color. And then I have Keeping It Brief, too, Wednesday afternoon. So busy week, busy week.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to your Pam. It's going to be on Thursday.
What do you got on Wednesday?
So people, make sure to not miss that.
Yeah. I still have a right to get in.
She's turning 29.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 29 and a half or something.
Oh,
okay. No, we gotta be honest, Dexter. I'm turning 30. Everybody knows that. You can't lie.
Okay, I know. Yeah, you're right. I was 1 year off. My bad.
I thought it was 25.
Damn, just keeps getting younger.
Is that what it is? She's like Benjamin Button.
Going backwards.
Oh my gosh.
What do you got Wednesday?
What's that?
What do you got Wednesday?
Oh, Naomi has Wednesday, and she already said what she has.
Oh, I thought it was Tuesday.
She has Tuesday and Wednesday, and she covered them both.
Oh,
yep.
Damn. Okay. You're loaded up. Ready to go there.
Sorry.
I heard what we had on Tuesday, and then I heard her say she had The Art of Seduction on Wednesday, as well as keeping it brief.
Great.
I didn't hear what the topics were.
And now we've just confused everybody that was listening on what we have on any of the days, because it's kind of like, who's on third right now? I think no, I'm just kidding. No.
But it's true.
I don't know.
No, she said she has Wednesday, and her topic is I See You in Color.
Okay.
Boy, covers sensual Pam's birthday. Boom.
Great show tonight, Rex.
Yes, since we're off the back end there. Thank you, Pam. Jean, thank you, Naomi and Dex for sitting in. And
yeah.
EJ, Marius, and PC for the boards. Thank you very much, everybody. Come and see us next week. Look for it. It's going to be Father's Day, and it'll be open for fresh and pre-write. As far as your favorite, your father's favorite song, music, band, whatever, in that musical genre. Could be rock. It could be jazz. It could be any bit of music that your father appreciated and enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll do this again next Sunday, and we'll be with the Father.
I'll try and get in earlier.
Okie dokie.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, gang.
Thanks, Naomi. Thanks, Dex. Thanks,